faith to believe, faith that moves mountains, faith for my dreams, faith that forever, faith to receive. I've got faith, faith to believe, faith that's forever. Faith that's forever. Oh, I've got faith down through the years, through every test and trial.
Gibson, lead pastor of the Word of Life Christian Ministries. Get ready for strong Bible-based teaching, as it is our goal to empower believers for an enriched and abundant life. Feel free to visit us on our website at www.wolcm.org. Now let's listen to Pastor DeWarren Gibson as he brings us the Word of God.
Thank you. His grace. We thank God for His presence and His power. God, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Today I bring You faith beyond the crisis. Amen. Praise His holy name. Giving honor to God and His glory and His goodness and all He has done for us in our lives. We're so grateful and privileged for His blessings upon us. So God, You've been so good. You've been so great. And we just love You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Praise His holy name. God is so good. So I want to thank God for His goodness and His grace. Come on and cut over. Praise His holy name. Thank You for the day. Join me in prayer. I'd like to start off our impact prayer, and I have specific prayer for those who ask. Heavenly Father, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we acknowledge You as our creator and sustainer of life. Therefore, we approach Your throne of grace and mercy with a renewed hope and confidence that You will hear and answer our prayer according to Your riches and glory in heaven. Lord, come into our heart, transform our mind, and change our ways. Impact our lives with Your holy word. Impact us with Your Holy Spirit. Impact us with Your power and Your presence. Impact us, Father, for an enriched and abundant life now and forever. Amen. Hey, I just want to remind those, I'm praying for Louise. I am praying for Fred. I'm praying for Christopher. I am praying for Dakari, praying for Charles. I'm praying for many of those who are impacted with the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and praying for those who are on the front line, and continue to pray for those that who haven't been in contact or maybe have symptoms, that God will continue to heal our bodies. And so I'm just praying for those who solicit their name on Facebook, who call me, who text me. So I want to be mindful that I'm praying for you all. I'm praying for the family of the Word of Life Christian Ministries, praying for your family, praying for my family. The Bible says, sends up all type of prayer, pray all type of prayer. So I am throwing up all type of prayers to heaven, asking God that He would catch it and hold it and send back to heaven, send back from heaven a blessing to us here on earth. And so as you pray and you can unite our faith together, let's be mindful that we're praying for those who even lost loved ones due to this pandemic. And so I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will comfort you during this time of sorrow and bereavement. It's challenging that even during this time, this is abnormal. This is not normal. Whereas we are grieving in a situation that we have never grieved before. We're grieving at a distance without your loved ones coming together and help you support a homegoing service. We're seeing a drive-through service, whereas we're doing and adhering to the laws of the land, gathering 10 of less. And so we're praying that for those who are lost loved ones and grieving in such a condition as this, we're praying that God will strengthen you and be with you. Today, I just wanted to share with you what Lord laid on my heart, faith beyond the crisis. Yes, yes. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. Lord, You are my strength and my redeemer. You ask that You anoint Your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so faith beyond the crisis. I prayed and asked the Lord, what should I render unto those who will hear this message, those who will play this message? Today, we are in a scrolling society. On your phone, we scroll through text. On Facebook, we scroll through posts and feeds. On Twitter, we scroll through. And on the other sites that we might use, Instagram and others, you know, we're scrolling societally. So we scroll through text, and sometimes we scroll through life. It's only through the text and scrolling through the Bible. But God parked me while I was scrolling through after we celebrated our Easter service on last week from Luke chapter 24. So as for those who might be joining, those who probably want to realize what we're preaching about and teaching about today is faith in the midst of crisis, faith beyond the crisis. Yeah, faith beyond the crisis. Today I'm coming from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 34. Luke chapter 24, verse 34. Hear the word of the Lord as I read to you Luke chapter 24 through 34. I have the scripture up on the screen, so you might read along. I'm going to jump through. It's a pretty long scripture that I want to touch on. And so I want to start off with verse 34. And so those who are joining, this is faith beyond the crisis. So we're going to dive right into this, pick it back off my Easter speech on last week, coming from Luke chapter 24. Last week I spoke about how a blessing in disguise, where the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus. And they walked with him and they talked with him. And then Jesus revealed himself after he had communion with them. And so I want to just pick up here on verse 34 and Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 24. And it reads as this in chapter 30, verse 34. And saying this, is it true? The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, peace be still, peace be with you. Verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. I want you to pinpoint that. I highlighted it. They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Why do doubts rise in your minds? And then he goes on in verse 39. He says in the text, he said, look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. I touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And then verse 40, he goes on and say, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still didn't believe, it was because of joy and amazement. And he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? In verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then in verse 44 goes on, and I picked it up on the screen. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Jesus already told them, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then, verse 45, then he opened their eyes so they could understand the scripture. Oftentimes we scroll through text, but here God pinpointed me to highlight, then he opened, Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, and he goes on and read about what was written, that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, in verse 47, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are a witness of these things. I'm going to send you and what my Father has promised. But they stayed in the city until stay in the city until you have clothed with power on high. And then verse 50, this is the ascension of Jesus Christ. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he led them and was taken up into heaven. In verse 52, and then they worshiped him and returned back to church with great joy. I can't wait till we go back to church, y'all. And they stayed continuing in the temple, praising God. Blessings beyond the crisis. I know that we are dealing with the situation that we're dealing with, but I have a different faith. Sometimes is that I understand what we're dealing with. We got to deal with it. Can't dodge it. It's just gonna happen. But what I realize is the fact that sometimes we just have to have faith beyond the crisis. According to the reports in the news, the cases of COVID-19 are beginning to flatten in many states. I hear you, Tanya. I hear that Texas, they're going to open back up the states real soon. But we'll see how soon that happens for all the other states. But if we pause and look at the landscape of our country, we are in the midst of a crisis far beyond that we have ever imagined in our life. During these times, I believe that we have to exude our faith in the Lord. Now listen, Ryan, I believe we all have faith, young, old, believer, non-believer. I believe that we all have faith. We all exercise faith without even thinking about it. Think about it. We all have it. We exercise it without even giving it a second thought. For example, we have faith in the architecture when we walk in buildings that has been designed. We have faith that the building has been designed and sound, you know, the structural form and sound. We don't question that when we walk in the building. We just walk through the doors. We have faith in the builders who build bridges and buildings. We don't question did they use the right material or did they follow the plans of the architect. No, we walk across that bridge and we just trust that everything that was built is on solid rock. Amen. When we walk on the elevator, we all have elevator faith. We step on it without inspecting the equipment or looking at the elevator pass and see, has it passed a recent inspection? We just jump on the elevator, push the floor we're going to go up to the floor, and we step off. We don't question that. We got to have faith. Think about what happened if that elevator was not functioning. What happened if the elevator was stuck? What happened if the core supporting the elevator would fall? No, we all have elevator faith. We have faith in distribution. My mom recently gave me yesterday, they call Home Chef. And so she gets delivered packages of food. There is really nice packages and boxes where you have all the ingredients. You have your meat, you got your vegetables, you have your starch, and they package it all look pretty. And so we have faith in the distribution. You know, when we open that well-packaged container or that color wrap pack that contains our meat and produce, we don't question if this food is good or not. We don't look at the USDA seal and really see have it been inspected. No, we buy the food, we take it home, we cook it, we eat it, we know we bless it, and we have faith that the food distribution system have done what it's supposed to do. So we have faith, you know. I believe we all have faith. We have faith in the locks and hinges on our doors. Yeah, only many of our doors, only 10 or so screws that's used and to divide us from the outside from the inside. Yeah, you got the little small padlock on there. Maybe you may have a deadlock on there, but just think about it. What's really separating us from the outside inside is really nothing. So, you know, we go home, we lay down, we lock the doors, we go to sleep, we pray to God, our soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We wake up, we give God praise. We may turn off the little alarm that we might have, but really, God is covering us. God is keeping us. So we got faith that God will keep us while we're even sleeping. Eh? Amen. And so I believe that we all have faith. I could provide so many more examples that we exercise our faith without even thinking about it. You know, we go about our day-to-day duties and activities without thinking twice about our faith. We all have it. We exercise it. But we we do it in a fashion that we don't even have to think about it. It's an innate spirit. It's an innate character. It's an innate trait that we have. We just believe and we act on it. Amen. In current times, I believe that we have to exercise a faith beyond the crisis. Amen. I could have named my sermon Faith in the Midst of Crisis, but we have to have a different type of faith to look beyond the crisis and see ourselves beyond the current situation that we're currently in. Yes, I know we're in the middle of it. I know that we're dealing with some things, but I believe in this current time, as things are beginning to flatten out, there's some after effects that we have to deal with in society that we have to have faith beyond. Amen? So it takes a different type of faith to believe that what you're currently in is not only going to last for a little while, but you got to see yourself. You got to see yourself beyond the faith. You got to see yourself happy. You got to see yourself with a job. Matter of fact, you got to see yourself promoted. Amen? You got to see yourself that everything's being met. So you got to have faith beyond the crisis. I know that we're going through, but you got to see yourself after the fact what you're going through. Amen? So we got to stop and pause for a moment and see yourself in the future. Just stop and pause for a minute and just see yourself in the future. I know that we're quarantined. I know that we're on a house arrest. I know you have cabin fever, but just stop for a moment and pause. Reflect on how you see your future. Amen. Just take 30 seconds and just meditate on what God is about to do for you. Going through, but just meditate on the moment. Just start to think about how you see yourself in the future. Matter of fact, I guarantee you that if you have faith, start thinking about your new home. Start thinking about that new car. Start thinking about that new job. Yes, that we're dealing with this, but there's a different type of faith that I want to activate in you, that you have to look beyond the crisis. Amen. So you got to see yourself living well. You got to see yourself happy. You got to see yourself that all your needs are met. All your needs be hard with paying your bills, but you got to see yourself that my bills being paid. Activate your faith beyond the crisis. When I was growing up, I used to drive around well-established communities, and look at these big homes and these well-manicured, manicured lawns. And I started to start driving around. I was in a situation. I live in a community that was totally opposite than that. I live in a community that, they had abandoned buildings. So I had to get outside of what I was used to and start to look beyond my current situation. So as I started to drive around those communities and look at the homes, I started to say to myself, even without having myself in this house, I see myself in this community. I see myself growing up. So you got beyond your circumstance, a faith beyond your situation, faith beyond your challenges and your crisis, and start to see yourself where you want to be. Amen. Give God some praise if you would, because I believe the fact that in this time, while you're going through, God's looking to see where's your faith beyond. Amen. I know many of us are waiting to get back in the church house, but God is challenging you right now. How do you see the church house? Some of our church houses were the fool, but I see the church house being full. Some of us see our family members wasn't going, but beyond the crisis, I see all my family members going to church, praising and giving God glory. Come on, give God praise right now. So you got to see yourself where you want to be in the future. Faith beyond a crisis requires us to look beyond the challenge that we're facing and see yourself where you want to be. So let me get to the text. In Luke chapter 24, up to this moment, we see that Jesus was crucified. His death was devastating to the disciples. Raised him from the dead. He appeared to several disciples before ascending into heaven. Jesus appeared to them for many reasons. Jesus appeared to them to prove what he said he would do. Isn't that a good God that just because what God said he was going to do, So even in the midst of the challenge, we all got the word. We got the word on our and in Bible print. We got the word on our phone. We got the word on our tablet. We got the word streaming right now across the land throughout many churches. We all got the word. Sometimes we have to be reminded what Jesus said. Amen. So Jesus appeared in your life that's remind you what he has already said. So Jesus appeared to them to prove what he said. Jesus appeared to the disciples to fulfill the scriptures. Jesus appeared to them to give instructions to wait on the Holy Spirit. Jesus appeared to them, I believe, to build up their faith. It's encouraging to know the fact that the one that you love, the one that you lift holy hands to, the one that was with you, the one that healed sick, the one that, hallelujah, made Lazarus come back to life, the one who said that I will be with you and never leave you, the one who only have died, and then you think you lost all hope. What a crisis is when you lose all hope, and then here, after all hope has been lost, Jesus appears. Isn't that good news? Is that know that God will show up when you think all hope has ran out. God will show up when you're down to your last dollar. God will show up when you're down to your last tear. When you lose all hope, here comes the Lord. Here comes Jesus. And here I am. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I thank God that even when I feel that I'm losing hope, somehow Jesus rises up and says, here I am. That appear to them to build up their faith. Praise God. Amen. But here's the conflict that I have in the text. The situation that Jesus appeared to the disciples, they were startled. They didn't believe. They were like, who is this? Some of them thought it was a ghost. Like, hold on, wait a minute. I don't know about you, but it wasn't Casper, but it was Jesus. He said he was going to do it, and he showed up to the disciples. Now, the conflict I have, these wasn't just normal folks that wasn't with Jesus. These wasn't folks that didn't hear Jesus. These were folks that were with Jesus the whole time. These are folks that saw him, did all the miraculous miracles and the wonders before him. The same Jesus that healed the same Jesus that had Peter walked on water. The same Jesus that calmed the storm by saying, peace be still. He showed up and said, peace be with you. I don't know about you, but I probably have been scared too. I probably have stayed right. But here's the conflict I have. They knew his voice. Without what they saw him, but they knew his voice. That's the challenge that we have in the midst of crisis, that we got to be able to hear God's voice. I recall the prodigal son. He left home, and he went off to a remote land. He left all that he had. He found himself in the hog's pen. And this is how the devil would do it in the midst of his crisis in the hog's pen. He couldn't hear God's voice. All he heard was an oink, oink here, an oink, oink there, here, oink, there, oink. On everywhere, because that's how God is. He'll try to surround you with noise so he can drown out his voice, God's voice. He tried to drown out the very things that God is saying to us in his word. And so I believe that the devil thought he won on Calvary because he struck a blow at Jesus, and it had an immediate impact to the disciples. And it drowned out their faith. It drowned out what they heard of Jesus' voice. And the conflict I have is all the disciples believe what they saw. You got to believe what you hear. It's amazing that one thing I learned about and crisis and isolation, they're great revealers. Yeah, crisis, the dynamic twins of crisis and isolation, they are great revealers. What do they reveal, DeWarren? Well, let me tell you. They reveal our integrity. They reveal our values. They reveal our faith. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crisis sometimes when it comes, it really kind of shows you what you're really standing on. What do you really believe? Who you really listen to? Do you really, because of what you see, even if it's Jesus appeared, if I heard his voice, I'll be shouting. So we got to be able to hear God's voice in the midst of the crisis. So faith beyond the crisis requires us only who we really are when people are watching. Yeah, yeah, we are who we really are when people are watching us. It's amazing that in the church, we go see all our family and friends, and that's good. And it's faith when we are on others. But when crisis and isolation happen, it really is who you really are, especially when you're alone and you're going through. What's going through your mind? What's going through your heart? What's going through your thoughts? So in the midst of crisis, disciples forgot all about them. They were alone without Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. What do you do when the church folks is not watching you? What do you do when you're all alone, when your parents not watching you? What do you do? I'm going to share this story. I was so amazed at my little Nunu. This is my little cousin. She's the youngest of my generation. And, you know, unfortunately, my cousin Yolanda, she's had to work at home. And my little Nunu, you know, she had to do homeschool. And sometimes, you know, our kids, and she's not even 5 yet. So sit at the table, around and do whatever she needed to do. And you know, I guess she was hungry. And so she opened up the refrigerator, then asked her mama to give her help. So she tried to sneak and open up the refrigerator. Bless her heart, she got some pickles and dropped the pickles on the floor. She tried to clean it up but cut herself, but her mama wasn't watching. So what she did is she put the napkin over the mess, ran to the little corner when her mama wasn't watching, and fall asleep. So what do we do when people are not watching? What are we trying to hide when people are not watching? God bless you, knew. But I thought about that today is the fact that when Jesus is not there, when the church is not there, what do we do? So in the midst of crisis and isolation, when Jesus is not present, and sometimes when we feel that God is not there. There are times when we feel that God is not there. God is always there. Amen. Christ and oftentimes cripples our faith. Yeah, it does. When I lost my younger brother Demicus, I questioned God. I questioned God, why? At that time, I couldn't see that death was a part of God's plan. And so know that we all might be experiencing death, and yes, God doesn't cause the pain. God doesn't cause death, but it's all a part of God's plan. I heard one preacher say that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So I thank God he knew Christ before he died. In the midst of that challenge, in the midst, I couldn't see beyond that crisis. My faith couldn't work me through that situation. But I thank God on the other side of that crisis. I'll be able to give God praise because his children are doing well. They're much more stronger now in life because they had to deal with their daddy being lost. And so I give God praise because after you see yourself beyond the crisis, amen, you can see yourself stronger. You can see yourself even more doing better in life. You can see your faith that's increasing. Because when the devil thought he tagged you, when the devil thought he had licked you, when the devil thought he pulled you down, God had a way of building you up. God had a way to fortify your faith. Give God some praise. I heard the word say, when we think it's all lost, you got to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, in the midst of crisis and isolation. You got to trust in him. You got to believe in him. Amen. So during the crisis, we're required to maintain the lamp of the Lord. Yeah. We got to keep that lamp lit. We're the world. So we got to see ourselves beyond the crisis by saying, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to continue to hold up my torch of Jesus. Amen. Let your light shine. Let your glory shine. Let your faith rain out. Amen. So God requires us to maintain love. Amen. Because God maintains his love for 1,000 generations. That's the word says. So in the midst of a crisis, we have to hold on to our faith. However, we need faith. Even though we're in the midst of the situation, even in the middle of the crisis, we have to deal with the after effects of coronavirus. We have to deal with the effects of COVID-19. We have to deal with the effects beyond. So, also, we still got to heal them through the grieving process. Amen. Those who are sick, we got to still build up their immune system. So we got to have faith beyond the crisis because this is only the first. Who says in flu season something else might come? Who says that famine might come? Who says that death might come? So you got to have faith beyond the crisis. Amen. Resolution that Jesus did for their doubt. Here's the resolution that Jesus did to their problem. Jesus in verse 45, Jesus opened their mind. That's amazing. I don't know about you. I need to pause right there. Jesus had the ability to open their perspective, open their mind, open their belief, open. So in verse 45 of Luke chapter 24, Jesus, after the midst of the crisis, he said, I need to help you. Let me help you. You didn't believe that I was coming. Allow you to touch my hand. Allow you to touch my side. Matter of fact, I proved to you that I am in the flesh. Give me something to eat. But more importantly, but I did all this so that I can encourage you and fulfill the scriptures and build up your faith. But here it is. I love this text. Here's the solution that Jesus did. If you don't understand the scriptures, you don't understand. Oftentimes I have people say, when I read the Bible, I just don't understand it. And that's okay. Sometimes I even heard Nunu say, because when you preach, what are you talking about? So sometimes, even if you don't understand it, young or old, Jesus got the problem to the problem, problem to the solution. Jesus has a solution to the problem. Jesus goes in verse 45 of Luke chapter 24, he opens the mind to the scripture. In other words, Jesus reminds them what the word says. What does the word say about you? What does the word say about your situation? What does the word say in the midst of the crisis about you? The word says that you're the head and not the tail. The word says that you're blessed in the city and in the country. The word says, hallelujah, praise his holy name. Greater is he that's in me that he is in the world. The word says, hallelujah, I would do exceedingly abundantly above all that he asks or thinks according to the power that's working in you. What does the word say about you? The word says, fret not of evildoers. What the word says. So Jesus, who is in the beginning, was the word, and the word became flesh, he reminds them what the word says. Hallelujah. And that's the good news today, is that Jesus opened our minds to what the word says. And that's why it's so important to read the word. Because when the Holy Spirit, in a time of crisis, and you got to see yourself beyond the crisis, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what the word says. He will draw out of the well of living water and says, thus says the Lord. Amen. The word says, I am a royal priesthood. The word says, he pulled me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you got to have something in you to pull out and pull you out of the crisis. So when you have faith beyond the crisis, you can say, I got some good things coming for me. Jeremiah 29:11. For the Lord didn't plan to harm me, but he planned to get me expected in. Amen. In the midst of trouble, he shall hide me. Amen. So you got to have the word in you to pull you out and have faith beyond the crisis. What does the word say about your situation? What does the word say about what you're going through? Amen. So I thank God that we have faith that we could draw from the word, what has already said. And that's what the scripture says. Jesus said, did you believe what I already said? What did God say about this pandemic? He said that in this world, you will face trouble, but I have come to overcome. He said, I come to overcome the world. Amen. What does Jesus say about this world? He said, in the word of John 10:10, hallelujah. He says, the evil one, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what did Jesus say? I come so that you may have life and that more abundantly. You got to declare the word of God over you. Amen. So what Jesus did, he said, I'm going to open up your mind to the word. And so it's my prayer. So I feel like preaching. It's my prayer that God will open up your mind to what he has already said, what he has already prophesied, what he has already said. In the book of Revelation, there won't be a chance that be a new heaven and a new earth. He said he'll drive all tears. Amen. What does the word say? And so I celebrate what the children, the disciples were doing after mine was opened up what the word says. They turned back to church. It said they went back to Jerusalem. Something from the vicinity of Bethany. That's in the word. You can read it through. I read it in verse 45 and down from Luke 24. They left the vicinity and they went back to Jerusalem, worshiping and praising God in the temple. I don't know about you, but I can celebrate. I personally believe, this is my belief, before I close. I personally believe they said to themselves, Jesus is really with us. Yeah. I thought he died, but Jesus is really with us. Out of all the hell they put him through, he went down to hell, and here he is in the flesh. I believe they said to themselves that I really believe now. And it's good news that after you go through some things, and God give you the experience to overcome it, you begin to say that, yeah, I've been through this. I've been through I lost loved ones. Yeah, I've been through when I had no money in my pocket. I've been through when I was sick and God healed me. God will give you a testimony. So I believe they had a testimony that they couldn't shut up. I believe they had a testimony they couldn't stop praising God. And so continue to praise God through the midst. Continue to give God glory. So beyond the crisis, they were giving God praise. Beyond the crisis, they was worshiping God. Why? Because God opened up their mind. Jesus opened up their minds to what he said. And then more importantly, Jesus revealed to them that I'm with you. Lord, I'm with you before. Lord, I'll be with you of all ages. Lord, I'll be with you through challenges. Lord, I'll be with you through hardships. Lord, I'll be with you through the crisis. So give God praise. Celebrate God with me on this Sunday morning, knowing that he's not a man that he shall lie. If he said, it will surely come to pass. Have faith of a mustard seed. If you believe, you shall receive whatever you ask for in faith. You should do greater works than these. That's what the word says. So you got to have faith beyond crisis, believing that God would do it. Believing that you got to see yourself. You got to see yourself well. You got to see yourself happy. You got to see yourself employed. So I want to activate your faith. I want to challenge you. Stop listening to the news and say, the news and I said, where are we going to be after the coronavirus? But you can tell yourself. I think the word says what I'm going to be. So give God praise. Give God glory for what he's doing and what he's about to do in your life. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. They have seen nothing like this. The scriptures say they have not seen nothing like this in the land. But I see you in the future, and you look better than when you look right now. Give God praise. Give God glory for what God is about to do in your life. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, many are challenged. Many are going through many circumstances and problems in their life. But God, if you will take care of the lilies of the land, the fowl in the air. We just pray, oh God, that as we seek you first, the kingdom of God, you will give us everything that we need. It might be hurting. It might be heartache sometimes. It might be challenges sometimes. It might be painful sometimes. But God, I know that beyond the crisis, you can give, for our burdens, you can give us blessings. For our hurt, you can give us healing. For our pain, you allow us to praise your holy name. You give us a testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. Bless the ears that hear this. Give them faith to overcome, oh God. Give them faith to deal with what they're dealing with. Give them faith to cover our families. Give us faith to put food on our table, to put roof over our head. Give us faith to speak good things into our life. Give us faith, oh Heavenly Father, to overcome sickness. Allow us to lay hands on ourselves. Allow us, oh God, to when you back to the old days, oh God, knowing our post, the knowing our body, believe without a shadow of doubt. Give us that faith, oh God. Give us that undenying faith. Give us that faith that in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we'll continue to pray for those who are challenged, but give them even faith in the midst of their problems. But more importantly, oh God, as you encourage us on today, give us faith beyond the crisis. In Jesus' name, God bless you, God keep you, and thank you for tuning in to the Word of Life broadcast. Amen. Praise his holy name. In the midst of challenge, God is good. God is great. God is powerful. We love you, and we give you praise. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance to give you peace, give you joy, give you happiness, give you faith beyond the crisis. Amen.